Well, today we're going to be wrapping up a sermon series on parables, and we've preached now. This is our third week. Kevin and I did a couple weeks. We've hit a few parables of Jesus's 46 parables. Jesus has 46 parables in the New Testament, and we just hit a few. We decided that doing a 46-week series would be kind of risky. It would be rough. You guys might get bored after like 5 or 6 weeks. So we just did a few. So hopefully you've caught on to a little bit of what these parables are, and maybe you'll go in and study the other 42 or so on your own and see what Jesus has to say. If you're new, here's kind of a review of what a parable is. A parable is a simple story to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus uses these parables about a third of the time when he's talking. About a third of Jesus' written words in the New Testament are in parable forms. These simple stories that mean more than what they kind of show on the surface. And he used these because some people were flummoxed by the teachings of the Old Testament. They were flummoxed by all these rules and flummoxed. No, they were flummoxed. They were flummoxed? Is anyone here flummoxed right now? It's flummoxed. That's what I was saying. Flummoxed. Thank you. Flummoxed. See, they were flummoxed just like you guys are right now, because flummoxed is confused. Thank you, yes. So like 3 weeks ago, I said, hey, we need to stop using these churchy words because, you know, people don't understand them. And that was just kind of a test, flummoxed. Some of you actually knew what that word was, which kind of scares me because that's a word that confuses me. Flummoxed. They were flummoxed. So these people were confused by the teachings of the Old Testament, okay? They were confused and they were like, okay, there's all these rules, but then the religious leaders made rules on top of rules, and I'm confused of how to follow the rules of the Old Testament. So Jesus said, okay, I'm a simple guy. Let me help you understand it. So he teaches in these parables. Okay, that's the whole background to parables. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 this morning. So if you have a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have one, there should be some under the chair near you or in front of you. Grab one. If not, the words will be up here on the screen. But we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. And as you're turning to Mark chapter 4, a little bit of background to Mark. The book of Mark, we are not 100% certain of who the author of this book is. Early Christians and early historians all kind of agreed that it was written by a man named John Mark. And John Mark was an associate, a very close friend of the Apostle Peter, who Peter followed Jesus around and shared life with Jesus. So Mark, early historians, and what we kind of all agree with, is that Mark heard from Peter, and he wrote down the life of Jesus, a biography of Jesus, kind of through the lens of Peter. So we're in Mark chapter 4, and Jesus is teaching to a crowd, and he's using parables in Mark chapter 4. He has a parable of the sower, and then a parable of a lamp on a stand, and then he goes into verse 26, the parable of the growing seed. It says, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. This morning, I want to unpack that a little bit and look at what Jesus thinks the roles, the jobs in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, are. And we're going to just look at two roles today. Our role and God's role. What's our job and what's God's job? So first, our role in the kingdom of God is to spread seed. It's to scatter seed. Verse 26, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Now, in this parable, the man represents those who are in the kingdom of God. So if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, that's you. Your job is to scatter seed. And that is the end of his job in this parable. Our role is to do. Our job is to work, to scatter his love, his story, wherever we are. One of my favorite books is by Bob Goff, and it's called Love Does. And the whole book is just about our job as followers of Jesus to do love. He says, love is never stationary. In the end, love doesn't keep thinking about it or keep planning for it. Simply put, love does. You see, love is action. We see that Jesus believes that this man's job is to scatter seed. Our job is to do something. Now, I'm not a farmer. I've planted a few plants before. Most of the time they fail. Rachel is the garden grower and the landscaper person in our house because I fail miserably. But the times I have done it, I haven't just been able to sit and say, okay, seed, get in the ground, do something. I actually have to get out and move. I have to do because love is action. Work, planting seed, scattering seed requires something of us. And this idea is so important to Jesus that we go and do things that the very last thing that Jesus says to his followers before he goes to heaven, he's killed on a cross, he's raised 3 days later, he spends 40 days with his friends and followers, and then he's going to heaven. And right before he leaves, he says this in Matthew 28. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, the last thing Jesus says is, go. Do something. Move. Love others. Baptize them. Teach them. And that's our job. That's our role. Now, the way we do that is going to look different to different folks. If you've ever read the book, The Five Love Languages, you understand that. The Five Love Languages is a book that kind of say that there are five primary ways that we feel and we express love. You can feel love, express love by giving gifts or getting gifts, by spending quality time together, by words of affirmation, by acts of service, or by physical touch. Those are the five primary ways. And none of us have friends that are in family that all experience this the same way. See, loving and scattering seed, the seed of Jesus' love, requires some work. It requires some effort because everyone experiences this seed, this love, differently. For example, my family, each one of the three people in my family experience love differently. Abigail, my daughter, experiences love through the words that I say to her and by hugs. I have learned that I can say things to my son, Brant, that I can't say to Abigail because words cut her much deeper than they cut Brant. She experiences love by me encouraging and saying kind things and by sometimes not saying anything, but just the physical touch of a dad hug. Brant, on the other hand, he's more of a quality time kind of guy. And his version of quality time is much different than Rachel's version of quality time. Brant's version of quality time is almost every day he sends me a text message. Dad, can we watch this on Netflix tonight? Dad, what about this TV show? Quality time for Brant is just chilling out on the couch watching television. Last night working the IU football game, and Brant was home, and I texted him, and I said, ST tonight, and exclamation points back, Stranger Things, yes. So we finished Stranger Things together, and that was like quality time for him. That was how he felt loved. Another way Brant feels love is not by us expressing words to him, but by listening to his words, because Brant has a lot of words. Those of you who know Brant know that he talks. Like he could tell this parable, I'm kind of unpacking it in about 30 minutes. Brant would take 2 hours to unpack something. He talks and he loves it. So one of the ways that I do a really bad job of expressing love to Brant is by listening. Because what happens a lot of times with Brant is he starts talking and then eventually I tune him out until the noise goes away. Oh, there was a pause. Yep, that's good, bub. And it's like about nonsensical stuff. Like that But he's so excited about it. Hey, okay, quick confession. Brant and I love WWE. Okay? So here in a few weeks, we're going to a pay-per-view. We've been to a pay-per-view in St. Louis. We watch it almost every Monday night. That's what we do. Okay? It's quality time. And I know most of you are saying, that's the most unquality time. I know. But it's quality time for us. And it's a bonding thing. Well, I watch it on Monday nights. And I'll go to a pay-per-view. But he, like, reads about it during the day. And then he comes home and, hey, Dad, did you hear about this wrestler? And this is going on and this. I don't care, bub. But it matters to him. Like, he just wants to be heard. Right? So that's a love language for Brant. For Rachel, she experiences love. It's kind of changed through our marriage, but acts of service is always a big one. Like me folding the laundry. I got a yes, almost an amen. And I don't do it very much. Partially because I don't fold them right. But like, we do laundry and then we have like a week's worth and then I've got to fold them all and I get overwhelmed. So I don't do folding. I don't do acts. Another thing, we have a dog named Ochi. He is an Alaskan Husky mix, and he sheds an entire gerbil every day. Like, there's so much hair on our hardwood floors, and we come home, and some days I get the little broom out and I sweep them up, and Rachel's like, somebody swept today, and like, she's loved because she didn't have to sweep up all that mound of hair. My family experiences love differently. And the friends and family members that you have are going to experience, they're going to feel love differently. So it's a very difficult thing. The one thing I do know is that love sacrifices. Spreading seed sacrifices. It gives up. My desire cannot be the most important thing if I'm truly going to love someone. It's the way of Jesus, and it's the way of the firefighters and the law enforcement who ran into burning buildings 15 years ago. It's the way of our military who give up and sacrifice for our country now. That's love. Maybe you've heard the story of the old lady who is complaining about her husband, and maybe old is like 35 because, you know, all ladies probably complain at some point about, Rachel complains about, she's going to complain about me today, so after the service, ask her. She's complaining this time, though, about, my husband never says I love you. He just won't verbalize those words to me. And the husband's reply is, I told you I loved you on our wedding day, and if it changes, I'll let you know. Right? That's kind of how some of us are. Hey, I've shown you I loved you. Now we're good. But that's not real love, right? I mean, real love, it's action, it's continual, it's a process, it's an everyday thing. One of the things we do as a family is whenever I hang up the phone from a conversation, or when we go to bed at night, when Rachel leaves for work way earlier than I do, whenever we separate, we just say, I love you. Just how we are as a family, because we love each other. We want to verbalize that. Love is not a one-time event. Jesus, throughout the New Testament, says love is a primary focus if you are going to be my follower. Here's some of the things Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets rest on these two commandments. If you want to know what the kingdom of God is like as a follower, that's it. It's loving God, loving other people. It's scattering the seed of God's love. Here's what he says in Matthew 5. Jesus says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love is active. It's sacrifice, praying for people who persecute us. For some of you, whenever I prayed for those who are trying to attack us, whenever I prayed for the terrorists, that was like, ooh, that's awkward, right? That's what love is. It's praying even for those who persecute. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Spreading love is not easy because people interact and they feel it and they see it differently. For some people in your life, if you're going to spread the love of Jesus, it's going to be a verbal thing. It's going to be saying things or maybe saying the words, hey, why don't you come to church? It's an invitation. It's, hey, we're not going to persecute you. We're not going to judge you. Come and experience the love and grace of Jesus. For some, maybe they need a physical or emotional need met before they can even listen about Jesus. They need their water turned on, or they need food, or their electricity has been shut off because they can't pay the bill, or because they're going through a physical ailment. And before we can talk about Jesus, we have to say, okay, I'm gonna help meet this need because that's what Jesus would do. For some, scattering the seed of hope may be just sharing a cup of coffee or providing a meal or writing a card during a tough time. But I think far too often that Christians share the seeds of anger and judgment and hate and pride. And I don't know that that's happening in this community, but I would guess that if we took a poll, probably some of us deal with that. Definitely see it through media, right? That Christians, we know what Christians are against. That's not the seeds that we need to scatter, because what that seed does is that kills all of the progression that Jesus is making in people's lives. It kills the plant of Jesus growing in their lives. Bob Goff again says, I used to want to fix people, but now I just want to be with them. If you follow Jesus this morning, you do not need to fix people. That's not our job. Our job is to love people. Rachel's tried to fix me since I was 17, and I'm still broke. It's not her job to fix me. It's Jesus' job. It's her job to love me in spite of who I am. It's my job to love her. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, it's not your job to fix people. Here's what Dave Willis says in The Seven Laws of Love. Kindness isn't real until we give it to those who are unkind. Love isn't true until we offer it to those who are unlovable. Grace isn't amazing unless it's shown to the unworthy. God freely gives his kindness, love, and grace to us and calls us to do the same for each other. That's what we need to be spreading. We need to be loving the unlovely. We need to be giving the grace to the ones who have hurt us the most. We need to love the person that looks different than us. We need to love the person who even practices a different faith than us. We need to give hope to the hopeless. Now, earlier, Kevin mentioned what our mission statement is here at ECC. Our mission, our goal is that we would love God and love people through connecting, growing, and serving. That's what we want to be about. And I think this parable matches perfectly with this mission statement. We first need to connect with God and with people. We need to connect with God by accepting this grace of Jesus and following him. We need to connect with each other by sharing life with each other. We need to grow in Jesus by practicing spiritual disciplines like we talked about a few weeks ago. We need to grow with each other through small groups and Sunday school classes. We need to serve God by helping others, by saying that this is a blessing, that my life is a blessing and I'm going to use it to bless others. We need to see needs and meet them. And I think that's what this parable really teaches, that that's our job. So, followers of Jesus, if you follow Jesus this morning, scatter the seeds of love. Scatter the story of Jesus. Earlier, we sang that song about our testimony. Our testimony should always, our testimony, our story, the things we say, the way we live should always point people back to Jesus and to his hope. And that has to be more than an hour a week. If this is our testimony, if this is where we connect, grow, and serve, we're not connecting, growing, and serving very well. Our testimony is not as great as what it could be. It has to be constant. It has to be active. It has to be daily. So if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, scatter the seed. If you do not follow Jesus this morning, if you're here and just kind of checking things out, or you're kind of unsure of who Jesus is, I want you to know that He desires for these seeds of love and grace and mercy to grow into you. He wants you to be part of His kingdom. Which leads us to our second point. God's role. What's God's job in all this? His job, His role is to grow the seeds. God's job is to grow the seeds. Verses 27 through 29. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. It's our job to scatter the seed. It's God's job to use that soil and to make it grow. It's not my job to make it grow. Now, the other day, we started our new Q Place group a couple weeks ago. Flavia and I meet with around 10 or 12 high school students, and Q Place is just it's kind of a Bible study, but just a place where we can come and ask questions together. And sometimes I don't know the answers, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I think I do. But it's this place where we can just come and talk about Jesus and Jesus things. And we start out this new semester with a question. If you could ask God any question and know he would answer it, what would you ask? If you could ask God anything and know he's going to answer it, what are you going to ask? And during that discussion, Cooper Bybee said, here's what I'd ask. How can I bring the people around me who aren't close to God closer to him? Like, how can I help people grow in their faith? How can I help them believe? And I didn't have an answer, and I still really don't. But this parable encourages me that I don't have to have an answer, because it's not Cooper's job, it's not my job to grow that. It's our job to love them and then let God do that. I'm encouraged by that all the pressure of people coming to know Jesus, it's not on me, it's not on you. God does that. I'm encouraged by 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. Paul is writing to this brand new church in the city of Corinth, and he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants, the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. I don't know how to help people grow up in Jesus. It's something I've struggled with a lot of my friends and family. My dad, the man I call dad, he adopted me when I was 14. I used to be, for those of you who don't know, I used to be Troy Neil Young. I was named after my uncle, Neil Young. Some of you may know Neil Young. Not that one, a different Neil Young. So I was Troy Neil Young until I was 14, and I was adopted by Larry Guthrie. We had a really rough relationship in high school. He had some anger issues, and we just struggled. And as soon as I got out of the house, I was happy. But now, 27 years later, we are very close. We talk every other day. He's made me his power of attorney, even though I'm the adopted son. We have a really cool relationship. But he adopted me when I was 14. I became a Christian pretty shortly after that. And since I was about 16, my dad has been like on my heart, because he would never go to church. He had the viewpoint, if I go to church, it's going to fall in. Have any of you ever heard people, or maybe you've said that? I can't go to church because I'm so bad, the whole thing would just crash in. And that was really how he felt. Because he went to a very strict, conservative, judgmental church when he was a kid. And then his parents died, and he felt ostracized or pushed away from Jesus because of the church. So he grew up for 60, 70 years thinking, I'm not good enough for God. So for 25 years, I've prayed, God, please talk to my dad. Please change his heart. I've shared Jesus with him. I've prayed with him. I've invited him to church. And it never worked. And then this spring, his cousin goes in. My dad's in the nursing home at the time, and his cousin walks in and says, "Hey, Larry, you want to know about Jesus?" And my dad's answer was, "I know about Jesus." And he said, "No, do you really want to know about Jesus? That Jesus loves you, that there's no amount of sin that you've done that stops him from loving you, that he loves me and that I'm a sinner and that we're all sinners, that Jesus died for us and he was raised again so that when we die, we can be raised again with him." And in that minute, in those few moments, my dad decided to follow Jesus. I've been praying and working on this guy for 25 years. Nothing. And just that simple conversation with his cousin allowed him to say, "Yep, I want to follow Jesus." Now, my dad's still not perfect. He's still a little bit grumpy. I don't know if you've seen the shirts that says, I cuss a little, but I still love Jesus. That's my dad. He cusses a little. He's still a little bit contrary. But it's been cool to see how that's grown. Like, he's grown in Jesus. And we've had some really cool conversations. I worked for 25 years, and I don't know how it happened with this cousin. But I'm thankful it did. Because 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, for the first time in my life, he came and heard me preach. Sat in the back row. He heard the first sermon in this parable series. 3 weeks ago, for the first time in probably 500 times of me leading music, he came and worshiped with me. That's cool. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if I planted the seed or I watered it. I know that there were some times that I was putting weed killer down. I was killing things just by my own actions, you know, by the things that I said and the way that I lived. But somehow God did it. And that's where we have to be. We have to say, "I don't understand, but God's doing it." One of the things that I struggle with is I'm not a very smart person. I'm a pretty simple dude. And sometimes people ask me questions that I don't have the answer for. Then I read a book by Rob Bell, and he said that there are three powerful words a Christ follower can say: "I don't know." It's okay to say, "I don't know." And I've kind of lived by that. There are questions that my kids and family members and friends ask, and I say, "I don't know, but I trust that God's going to do it. I don't know, but I can still point you to Jesus." It's okay to say, "I don't know." Bob Goff says, "I learned that faith isn't about knowing all the right stuff or obeying a list of rules." Jesus is sometimes called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And I think that's what God had in mind for us, for Jesus to be present, to be with us. It's also what he had in mind for us when it comes to other people. It's not your job, according to this parable, to know all the answers. The guy that scatters the seed, it clearly says, whether he knew it or not, the seed sprouted. Whether he understood it or not, it sprouted and it grew, and one day it came to harvest. And that harvest is when someone follows Jesus. I don't know how that all happened with my dad. And to be honest, I'm not worried about it. I'm just glad that he did it. Other parables explain that sometimes, though, the seed doesn't take root. Sometimes we can plant and we can harvest and we can work and we can do all that, and sometimes the seed doesn't grow. That isn't my job. My job is to scatter and trust that God's going to grow how he needs to. I trust that God is way smarter and better than me. Here's what Isaiah 55 says. This is God speaking. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." It's our job, it's our role in the kingdom of God to spread the seed of love, to share God's goodness, to to share His word. It's God's job to make sure His purpose happens. So this morning, based on this parable, I have two challenges for you. Challenge one is, who is someone you can show love to? Who is someone that you need to show the love of God to? And it could be different. It could be, again, providing a meal or just a conversation. It could be an invitation to church. It could be hundreds, thousands of things. But who is someone you can show love to that needs the love of Jesus? Secondly, how can you do that this week? How can you show them that love this week? I don't want this to be something a month from now. I want something super practical this week. Who's someone I can love and how can I do it? That's our job. That's our role in the kingdom, is to love other people. So this week, if we have 200, 250 people all going out and showing love to someone, I trust that God's going to do some cool stuff through that He's going to make that grow. Would you pray with me? God, thank You for Your love. Thank You that that the pressure is not on me, it's not on us to make people grow in You, to make the seeds that we plant come into harvest. God, I really don't understand it sometimes. I don't understand why sometimes people latch on and that seed grows super fast. I don't understand why sometimes we go years and years and years and we never see that happen. But God, I trust You. I trust that You will use us if we will just scatter the seed of love and hope and grace. So help us to do that, God. God, right now as we collect and we give an offering, we here believe that we can scatter the seed of love through the different ministries that happen here, through youth and children's ministries, through women's and men's and missions. So God, as we give this morning, we recognize that this is just another way to scatter the seed of You in this place and around the world. Thank You for Jesus, and we pray it in His name. Amen.